suffering death, you continue to live in chains, tied by the cunt of your mouth to the dirty, disease-ridden prick of capitalism. You whore, I don't care that you sold your body years ago to the system of competition, but what more of yourself do you have left to sell? You never did have any soul. Or did you, Anita? Or do you have any little tiny light of flickering soul that can still be saved from Jesus, who is always just about to come in your mouth and confess to him your own homosexuality, baby? How about your own homosexuality, baby? Anybody who protests so loud and who has been put down by men so damn much as you must have something mighty private to hide. I'm gonna sing me those good old-fashioned homosexual blues. Come on out of that disguise, baby. You never did look good dressed up as a wicked witch of Judeo-Christianity. This is your last chance, lady. No other opportunity for salvation this time round. The wheel of karma is coming down. And how could anybody manage to look so ugly at only 37 as this woman who once placed second in the Miss America contest? Why are you still trying to make the impossible male father figure? He is never going to be able to live up to your dreams or tolerate your impossible schemes. Why don't both of you come down from the pedestal of hell in the Orange Juice Hall of Fame? We will accept you. As Citrus Queen, you never will be the first Queen Elizabeth of America to flash the diamonds of her teeth and grinding eyes at us. You are the last great whore of Babylon, America. But we still want you to liberate yourself. And let us gaze come back from the great interior Exodus diaspora, Anita. You have nothing to lose but your toxic cosmetics. The contest you lost was always rigged in favor of money anyway. And you had little of that, and even less class. A pretty girl from some peanut town in the piney woods of the buried South. Daughter of some local garbage collector who was taught to think for himself by the Ku Klux Klan. The Knights of Columbus Division of the Southern Baptist Church. Baby, I want you to know for us all, we is not your niggers to kick around nohow, and we never was, baby, and you better believe it or look out. The faggots of the crucifix you ride as a broomstick are on fire, and woof. And woe betide you, woe betide us all. Excuse me. Unless you are monumentally crushed like an ignorant insect by a united people, united by their suffering, or your mind is unilaterally and unconditionally surrendered to serve the people, and your heart is open to whatever the armistice terms of peace are, this is, for the last time, peace or war. Come out of the closet, wicked witch. Billy Graham and the pig archbishop of Miami's prick can't protect you anymore. We are all prepared to weep for you and comfort your fears. For you are just as human and flagrant in your needs as we are. Come out, Anita, before it is too late. We are waiting for you. We are just waiting for you in this here big room that holds all the people and not just a select few. We are just holding a candlelight vigil, just waiting for you to come out of the closet. But we have also long since given up much of any hope. We are fast becoming our own flowering. You are forcing us to grow and manifest our true colors. We are coming out of the closets of our dreams by the tens and hundreds and thousands and millions. Yes, we are wildflowers. We are butterflies of the rainbow. We are moths here today to tear apart the disguises which you keep hidden in your closet. And don't even tell your father, who is in failing health in heaven. This is your last chance. Come out of jail on your own recognizance before all the oranges of America dry up, just because they know they will soon be squeezed by you. You are your own hope, lady. You are a woman. Men and women and old people and children are all beautiful, regardless of their appearance. And there ain't no hiding place from the democratic parents of creation. We are discovering ourselves. We are not alone. We are the rising suns and moons. And Anita, we will not be your dirty niggers or America's Jews. We will not be the scapegoats for the utter demoralization of this decadent bourgeois capitalism. Your victory, Anita, that grabbed all the headlines by the balls, has forced us to discover our erotic fundamentality. One love, one hope, one heart, and all join in with the juggernaut fist of socialism that is uniting all planes, planets of consciousness with the black holes of the stars. And I want to thank Bob Marley and the Wailers for providing the background and so many trenchant lines and thoughts.
All right, tremendous, tremendous. In the outer atmosphere, above all this, into all this, through all this, around all this, is David Moe, who has poetic bananas coming out of his manuscripts. Poetic oranges. There's an orange here.
Like mountains of manuscripts.
Well, we have some silence when the shuffling of the... Mind threshold eyes, candle flaming, marsupial parachutes, toke a swig of wine, and thou, night, ethune, gerodoling around.
Look at the cover of this week's Newsweek magazine, and for that matter, many other parts of the capitalist press, to know that even the bankers and the people on Wall Street and the big media barons are forced to take notice of the fact that there are little people around this world. Under just about every social, economic, political system, and variation of it, who are protesting or have simply opened their mouths, in some cases like Kim Chi-ha in South Korea, did not even really open their mouths. They simply wrote a few things down on paper. A few of which got printed, most of which didn't got printed. But the South Korean government is so much in fear of this one man, this 35-year-old Christian, in fact Catholic, Gandhian revolutionary poet, that every time he gets out of jail for even a day or a month, they want to arrest him, and so he has to go underground. He has to go into the country and blend in with the people. From the time he was 23, back about 1965, until today, he's been in prison most of the time. Every so often there will be some international pressure, and Park and his minions will be forced to grant a pardon to a few or a hundred of the most prominent. And Kim will usually be among them, but within 6 months to a year, he'll be back in jail. And, in fact, let me read a statement of his to this effect. He was asked back in 1972, a number of questions, one of which concerned the people he knew, and he said this about his friends. You know, I'm not the only one. More than I have done this, 170 of my friends were tortured in March. But that's not new. They tortured them this year and 2 years ago and 5 years ago. It's a part of life for those around me. Sunday is my confirmation day, and I must forgive them, the government and the Korean Secret Intelligence Agency, but I can't. Even after I'm dead, I'll not be able to forgive them. I want to, but I can't. So just
remember, when we're talking about Kim in South Korea, we're talking about 170 or 1,170 or 3,000 or how many thousands of people who don't get any public attention. And the only chance that they can is if a man like Kim can get out. He knows who's in jail. He knows why they're there. He knows how they can be reached and how the authorities can be reached. It's more important than for the sake of his poetry alone, which is very fine and beautiful, that he be released. For the last 2 years, he has been in solitary confinement in West Dang Prison, just outside of Seoul, on charges that he violated Emergency Decrees 1 and 4, which prohibit him from even writing in verses or in his journals, which he writes for himself and are as yet unpublished, anything critical of the government of Park Chung-hee. Well, he was tried last July and August, and Father Dan Berrigan wrote an article that appeared in the Catholic Worker at that time about the trial. He was sentenced to life imprisonment, but then because of some international pressure organized by Sartre and de Beauvoir and a few others, they figured out they had to try him on more substantial grounds and add an additional sentence. So he was tried again last December, and on the last day of the year, or on the 30th, I believe, he was sentenced to 7 years beyond life imprisonment for violating the Anti-Communist Act. And he who is not a communist, has never openly or quietly supported communism to the knowledge of anybody, has been sentenced to life imprisonment plus 7 years. Now, he's also tubercular, and this has been brought on and worsened by the treatment which he's received in prison over the years. During the last 2 years, he has not received medicines, he's not received reading materials, he has not had the opportunity to wash or for exercise. And on only one occasion, on January 15th, back in 1975, he had the opportunity to see his people, his wife, his then newborn son, and his parents. That was for 5 minutes. Since that time, he's not been seen. There have been statements that have been released from jail and from observers in the courts. I would like to do one thing before giving the addresses of people and places to whom to write, and that is an excerpt from the statement which Kim made in court December 23rd of last year, and this was copied down by observers who were there. As I've said repeatedly, my thought is neither so mature nor organized that it can be given a name. However, if I had to call it something, I would like to call it a philosophy of unification. To reveal contradiction itself and then to genuinely overcome it, creating a world of friendship and unity, this is my philosophy. For a long time, I have dreamed of a unification of God and revolution, of a unification of bread and freedom, earth and heaven, prayer and action, and now I am experiencing this vision more vividly than ever. This philosophy grows primarily out of my personal experience in having come from among the masses, my life as a poet and my religious faith. However, it is a fact, and one which increases my confidence, that the same groping path can be discerned by the works of many Korean intellectuals, writers, and scholars of my generation. I believe that this phenomenon is no accident. The very philosophy of unity which I pursue is the claim of our generation, the demand of our people. The immediate historical problem of the Korean people is the unification of North and South. However, this is not simply a question of linking the territories back together. The authentic unification of the people themselves is the essential basis of the philosophy of unity of which I dream. It is only through unity that our people can live. It is only through unity that we can conquer oppression from within and from without the country and arrive at a world of true fraternity. This unity can by no means be achieved by makeshift artifice or stratagems, nor by forcing things. What is called for is an entirely new philosophy, an entirely new spirit, and the emergence of a fundamentally new human being. It is for this that I am crying out like a madman in this courtroom. There's no time to read the rest of the statement, which is very beautiful, but I do urge you to write President Carter and Cyrus Vance, our Secretary of State, and urge them in their capacity as President, Secretary of State, essentially the controllers, the open powers behind the scenes of the South Korean government, to make sure that President Park, to put pressure on President Park, to free this man and to guarantee his safety and his security. Thank you very much.
Yes, this is Poetry for the People. This is KPU Community Radio Sponsors Radio coming to you and bringing you alternatives. We thank you for being with you.
is Mark Jacqua again with 360 degree turn on. And I'd like to thank Cush for that fine hour once again of poetry for the people and all those poets who come in faithfully every week. Today on 360 degree turn on, we're going to have quite a few things from around the world. Japanese, Greek, Indian. We'll even get into some nice Cuban stuff. And I think I'd like to start off with some Japanese shakuhachi music. The shakuhachi is the traditional bamboo flute of the Japanese musical world. And the piece I'm going to play now is taken from an Explorer series album entitled A Bell Ringing in the Empty Sky. And the individual's name featured on this album is Goro Yamaguchi. And he's quite the master of the shakuhachi. So here we are with the Japanese shakuhachi.